Kink 101 is proud to present Deviant Discussions, where kinksters come together and put the why in kink, with Diavol Diablo, Subtle Shadow, and Glass Girl. This is Deviant Discussions.
Okay, so let's talk about kink identity, because I know, Glass, you've said some interesting things on your identity before, and Shadow, I know yours is ever-evolving, which I find fascinating. Mm-hmm. And then for me, you know, I feel like the longer that I'm in this lifestyle, the less of an identity I actually have. So I just wondered if we could spend some time kind of exploring that and talking about how our not necessarily how our journeys have been up to this point, because I think we've all covered that off quite significantly at different points in time, but definitely what our lessons learned so far about who we are, I guess, is probably what I'm getting at here.
I think for me, I always imagined imagined myself, and kind of the goal was to look for 24/7. So 24/7 total power exchange. Deep submission, because I at heart, I'm a service submissive. I mean, I do have a little side, definitely a masochist, but service submission is really where, you know, my biggest kink and where my heart is. And for me, my heart has always been a big part of, you know, the kinks I'm involved in. I've certainly done, you know, the play partner thing, and I've certainly done, you know, just kind of bottoming, but connect, like deep connection in the 24/7 dynamic has always been what spoke to me the most. And I always pictured that would be, you know, what I would always want. I couldn't imagine that changing. And, you know, due to past experience, I can't, now I'm at the point where I can't imagine ever, submitting that way again. And it's something that I'm still working through and thinking a lot about. It's one of those things where you say never, right? And, you know, a year from now, I might meet someone amazing and I feel differently. But for right now, I can't see how that could be possible for me to want to do that again. So now I'm at this place where it's really shaken kind of who I am in submission and what I want and what my dynamics going forward, if any, what they could look like.
And that's horrible. Like that someone else can have that ability to take away your identity. It's something that you were so sure of at one point in time, and they've been able to shake it to that degree. And I can completely sympathize. I have an experience that happened where I was dead set against being what they thought I was. I would fight against it tooth and nail. And then, you know, as life does, I found myself becoming that person. And it wasn't for their benefit. It was just that they saw those tendencies within me and they managed to coax them out. And I hated every moment of it. Like, I hate someone else being able to bring something out of me. But eventually, you know, it became, I was hooked on it, I suppose, because no one had ever been able to do it before. You know, I'd always been the stronger person, the one that was able to keep that control. And then when it disappeared, quite literally overnight, without any explanation or anything like that, it was a shock to the system, and it kind of just, it reinforced every negative feeling that I had before then. So I'd always been, you know, you can't trust anybody and all of life is a constant battle and things like that. And so having them take this feeling away, I suppose, it made all of that negativity come back twice as hard. And I think that if I'm honest, they've fucked up anyone else's opportunity to try and bring that out of me, which on one side, I'm kind of grateful because it highlighted where my weaknesses are about myself. But at the same time, it's everything that people have told me I should try and get out of that habit of thinking and open myself up more. And all that they've done is make me even less likely to ever let anybody get close to me again. So...
Oh, wow.
It is horrible that we give these people that power over us. And I think that it is never acknowledged enough just how powerful DS dynamics and BDSM dynamics in general can be.
It really isn't. And I'm, you know, just heartbroken and sad to hear that from you both. But I know it's, you know, it's more common than I think the community acknowledges. And I had kind of a situation where I grew incredibly attached to a dominant guy who just essentially left me hanging. And up to that point, I had really thought I would want 24/7. And now I'm just of the opinion that the feelings that DS creates psychologically are not as intoxicating as they are to me, become toxic. Like that it creates a version of myself that I don't want. And I just hate that you both have had something, you know, that you would have otherwise explored taken from you because of some, you know,
asshole.
Terrible person. Yeah. It's shitty.
It is shitty. And I think for me, I don't know if you feel similarly, Glass, with saying like you don't know if you want the things that you once wanted. It kind of becomes the, like, you hear a lot of talk about frenzy and things like that, and it kind of becomes the polar opposite of frenzy. It's like an absolute resistance and reluctance to be a part of that lifestyle anymore. Like being a someone that I consider myself to be, like trying to become a kink educator, or at least, you know, an ambassador for kink and that kind of thing, I'm able to separate it out. But for my personal experiences and my personal enjoyment of actually being a participant, absolutely not. I'm nowhere near that point. I was, and, you know, friends and family around me that know I'm a kinkster and whatnot, they say, you know, you got to get back out there. You got to start going to events again and start going to play parties again and get back into it because it's something that you loved. But in the back of my mind, I just have this, I suppose, deep-seated anger. And the idea of someone coming close to me, I'm just going to assume the worst of them. And it's the opposite of frenzy. That's the only way I can describe it for myself.
That's a really good way to describe it. I think of it as like just flat. Like for me, I haven't been able to like access the anger. For me, it's just like a flatness and an apathy.
Apathy, definitely.
You know, I'm working hard to separate it, you know, from, you know, as you say, being a kink ambassador. And, you know, when I see people engaging in DS and power exchange, you know, kind of biting my tongue because I'm not in their dynamic. I just worry for people now.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't only just lose my submissive, like my little, the little side, which she does still come out and there's tendencies, but I can't imagine even sharing her in a relationship again. So definitely a loss of identity.
And it's a shame as well, because I think, you know, kinksters are the kind of people, especially when they're lifestyle kinksters, it's sometimes different if you're more of a bedroom only or weekend only kind of kinkster, which there's no problem with that. But I find when you're a lifestyle kinkster, you are so intrinsically wound into what your kink identity is. And I've said it to you before, Shadow, you know, you find it really hard to present yourself to someone if you can't give them an indication of what your label is. We always say that we hate labels and no one wants to be in a box and things like that. It still gives people a good rounding, I suppose. If you can say I'm on the right side or the left side, or I'm a switch, or I'm just you know, a top or whatever. And if you start losing that sense of identity, the points where you do come into contact with other kinksters, you no longer know how to identify yourself to them either. Like, so you can have as much of an identity crisis going on the inside as you want to have, but to not be able to explain to other people whether it's what you aspire to be or what you once were or what you hope to be again, you just become this almost like, I suppose, lost soul wandering aimlessly. And you're like, yeah, I'm here in this kinky environment, but I don't, none of it strikes a chord with me anymore. And I think the sense of imposter syndrome suddenly comes raging back in, and you think, okay, I've had all of this kink experience in the past, but none of it counts anymore because I don't have an identity anymore. And you sort of lose sight of the journey that you've been on and how much you've already scaled.
So well yeah. said. Yeah, yeah. I know for me, as someone who writes erotica, I'm struggling because, especially because my specialty is writing BDSM kink erotica. And I try to write it, and that's usually when I'm writing, like in the past, when I've been writing that type of, you know, that type of erotica, I do it from a place of arousal myself, you know, and now I'm trying to write it and I feel nothing. And, you know, it might just be the headspace that I'm in right now, but, you know, it comes out flat and boring, and it's not even something that, you know, I want to do. I have to force myself, because I have deadlines, and, yeah, it's something I'm really struggling with right now.
And I feel for you. I really, really do feel for you. And I think it's important to be able to talk about that kind of thing. You know, in the vanilla world, there's big campaigns on about people opening up about their feelings, and especially guys, like guys don't talk to guys in the way that girls will. You know, there's not as much emotion and things like that there. But I think that it's super important for kinksters to remember the turmoil that we can put ourselves through, whether that's, you know, if you've been in a heavy humiliation and degradation scene and things like that, or if you've been in one of these DS dynamics that's gone sour, or, well, any kind of dynamic. If you've had a bad scene experience, you know, aftercare, we talk about it being there and then in the scene, but aftercare is, to me, I don't need aftercare straight after a scene, but I might need after, like, long-term aftercare that comes years down the line when I'm like, you know what, holy shit, that person treated me really badly 2 years ago, and it's affected me 2 years down the line because I still exhibit this kind of behavior toward other people because of that. And you know, it's not necessarily aftercare in the classic sense that we always determine it, you know, as being, you know, post scene aftercare because of what you've endured, but at the end of the day, this lifestyle is a form of endurance. You know, you've got to be strong enough to go through some heavy shit at times.
Yeah.
Even if we call it play, it's not. And I think part of my big issue with calling it play is because it's not fun and games. You know, it takes a heavy toll. And as much as you can have fun laughing and giggling and being a dork in a scene, none of that prepares you for what will hit you at a later stage when either it's taken away or it falls apart, you know?
Yeah. Glass, you had a writing that we posted on Kink 101 that spoke a little bit about this. And I think that it was really just so well put that when, and you're both right, like these are not, it becomes so much more than play. And I recall that you had said, Glass, that there needs to be that discussions of what happens if it ends need to be part of negotiations, not just of a scene, but if you're engaging in a DS, really any kind of kink relationship that has a mental aspect to it or a psychological kind of component, which I think all kink does in a way. That you need to have those, you need to be realistic and in discussing what you will do to help one another process the end.
Absolutely.
And if you're not willing to do that for somebody, you know, I mean, I think there are situations where that is null and void. I think that, you know, people who are abusers or people who, you know, or just like, if you need to get out for your own physical safety, it might be a different story, but, I just feel like it just isn't talked about. And I think if there was that's why frenzy worries me so much for beginners is, I mean, yes, there's the aspect of they're going to get into a scene where they're not prepared for what's about to happen, but the relationships, and it never really occurred to me until the breakdown of this dynamic that I had last year, how much we aren't aware of the risks for the, for your heart, for your brain. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, relationships ending, you know, vanilla or kink are difficult, but obviously, but when you're in something where you've handed power over, and you've been assigned tasks and you've been assigned rituals and things that you do every day, and you've also negotiated that if those things don't happen, there's punishment, right? There's, that's a level of mind and conditioning that isn't talked about, right? If you are conditioned to be kind of disciplined when you don't meet an expectation or task, right? When that dynamic ends, even though there's no discipline, that discipline's not going to happen anymore. You still, you know, depending on how long you've been in that dynamic, you've been conditioned to do it no matter what.
Yeah. And you kind of punish yourself for it if you don't do
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes beyond just habit breaking, right? Because with habit breaking, you know, you quit smoking or you smoke, the consequences are, you know, your own. It's not like someone's going to, you know, spank you or put you in a corner or, you know, whatever kind of negotiated punishment you've agreed on for smoking, right? You can do that on your own. But I mean, with this, you know, the consequences and of mental conditioning are not talked about, I don't think, in DS. And you know, we talk about care for bruises. We talk about care for and danger and risk mitigation when it comes to bodily fluids and all those things. But we don't necessarily talk about the conditioning that happens in a power exchange and how detrimental it can be, especially if you're a beginner, especially if you're with someone who might use it to abuse you. It needs to be talked about.
I agree. And I think. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, to what you were saying, Didi, that, you know, in our kink community, I think unfortunately there's also this idea that, well, if you can't handle the after effects of being in a scene, then you shouldn't be doing it, you know? And I think there's like this kind of judgment, you know, that can happen from other kinksters that, you know, maybe you should be engaging in kink then if you have difficulty after, you know, and we certainly wouldn't be treating each other like that in the vanilla world. We wouldn't be saying, well, you should, if you're going to have heartache after being in a relationship, well, then you shouldn't be in a relationship.
Yeah, definitely. Right? Definitely. And I think as well, you know, people say, oh, if you can't handle the after effects, you shouldn't be doing it. It is absolute bullshit, because for one thing, you're the people in your dynamic. And unless you've had that dynamic breakdown in such a negative way, you kind of have no authority to talk on the topic. You know, unless you've experienced something along those lines, it's different walking out of a scene and saying, you know what, I didn't like the way that they spanked me, or I didn't like that needle play scene because it made me cry too much and I didn't want to cry as much as I did. It is completely different to saying this person has ripped out the center of my universe and I don't know how to center myself now. It's completely different to just not liking how a scene went. That would infuriate me if that was the people that, like the way that people spoke about it to me. And I think part of my reluctance to ever get involved in communities too much is because there is that sense of, you know, everyone's there for each other if someone gets abused or, you know, their consent gets violated and things like that. But for me, I know that the breakdown of my dynamics this most recent one, I suppose, really, it was a violation of consent the entire time. But I was I was foolish enough to let it continue. And even though we'd spoken about, you know, what will happen if this isn't here anymore, because our circumstances at any point could, you know, separate us and things like that, it was still bullshit that came out of that. Like, you know, those plans that got put into place and things were not the plans that actually got executed. It was just, you know, if we can't talk at this point, I'm going to let you know by doing this. And even if you catch up, it's like he came back after a certain amount of time and was like, hey, sorry, blah, 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 this is what happened, you know. And he was laying the blame at his door, but not really, and then did exactly the same thing again. And it was like, okay, so I pointed out that that was not the appropriate way to handle this situation, and now you've big fat gone and done it again. Like, what the fuck was that about? Just, if you're gonna disappear, just disappear. Disappear for good. Don't go away, come back, go away, come back. Because that's the kind of thing that is mind fuck. And yeah, we get off on mind fucks, a lot of us, and we will hunt those experiences down, but not when it's life altering. You know, you want it to be an experience within a kink scene. You don't want it to be your existence.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it becomes even harder then to separate it. Like, if you're already a lifestyler in kink and you have these experiences that alter your path in life and they alter your kink identity, you suddenly can't tell the difference between what's just a scene and what's going to affect your entire being and your existence in kink. So to say that if you can't handle a scene, you shouldn't be doing it, like if you can't handle the aftermath, then that means that you can't, you're essentially telling me to just be completely devoid of any experience in life, to remove myself completely from kink, because I don't want to deal with someone being a fucking asshole 2 years down the line. And I don't want to call into question who I am as a kinkster because person A, B, or C had this effect on me. No one knows how people are going to affect you. Your mind works in mysterious ways, and we're often our own worst enemies. But I think if you can recognize that someone else is the enemy, it takes a bigger person than blaming themselves.
Absolutely. I think it's unfortunate that people take that position, because to me, it shouldn't be if you can't handle the being hurt. It's how do we address what is clearly a systemic issue within our community in regards to abusers and toxic partners. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not either one of you two's fault. None of it is your fault. None of it. And that takes a long time to accept. For me, at least, you know, I've had relationships that have blown my world apart and taken years to recover. I'm still recovering from one of them. And part of that process it's just mind blowing to me, and in a very saddening way, how much the kink community is in denial of its own judgments on others, and how unsympathetic we as a subculture can be towards one another.
Yeah.
I find myself, you know, I think that a lot of it, honestly, I'm sure there are people who feel this way and may have said these things to you both in person. I hope, you know, that you haven't had that experience. I do see it most prevalent in social media. And I do think that, again, you know, this ties into an episode we had previously about media perpetuating bad things about kink, but it's almost like we're doing it to ourselves through the use of social media.
Well, definitely.
We're creating these cliques, we're creating these judgments, these schools of thought, these divisions,
and we're giving people the opportunity as well. Like, if you don't, explore social media, then you're not putting yourself into that situation. But as human beings, we're designed to be not in my case, but apparently social creatures. And so we kind of, you know, we line ourselves up for it,
of course,
and then we blame ourselves for it.
Yeah. And I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know if there is an answer, but I know what the answer is not, and it is not responding to someone who is hurting by saying, well, you just shouldn't do this thing that brought you happiness before. You should just never do it again. Like, that's not the answer.
No.
That's not what we should be sending as a message in our community. And I'm not sure how to approach that other than, you know, conversations like this that are broadcast, hopefully, you know, people who are in similar situations can understand that they're not alone. And, you know, beginners can see that this is serious shit. Like, when you get involved with somebody on a level of any kind of power exchange, or our kinks are so vulnerable. They're so, it requires so much trust in the other person to reveal those things about yourself. And when a partner crushes that vulnerability and abuses that trust, that can be life altering. And I think, you know, I just wish that more people understood that. And I really hope that anyone listening to this who's a beginner understands that they need to build those foundations of trust. And if something happens that results in abuse, or that results in this person violating or taking advantage of them in any way, that it isn't their fault. It just isn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. I wish we could just figure out a way to, like, tag all of the people who are assholes with, like, a
I think a the problem is
letter.
Like, oh, I wrote one of those. I wrote a scarlet letter.
A scarlet letter, an A for asshole.
I called it the scarlet letter and everything. And that was me calling out this person on their bullshit. And do you know what? Mm-hmm. I was the one that was pulled to pieces for it, for outing how much of an asshole they'd been. And it was funny because I think to some degree they probably didn't mean to do it. They just took the coward's way out. And I think that that is something else that especially newcomers need to realize, is it's not necessarily that the people that you're interacting with that are assholes mean to be. It's that they're cowards as well. And I've known far too many to count that have been cowardly kinksters. And
I think as much as a submissive needs to know, I mean, like, just talking specifically about DS, as much as a submissive needs to know what they are getting, what they're actually consenting to, and what, you know, the after fruits are, a dominant needs to know and understand fully what they are taking, agreeing to take on.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's super hot to have all the power. It really is, to have someone at your feet kneeling and serving you and putting you first. But there is a responsibility that comes with that power. And I don't think that's fully accepted or understood. I think pussies get wet, dicks get hard, and the rest of it is kind of forgotten about until it's too late. It's one of the reasons I think mentorship is something that's really lacking in our communities. And something that I think, you know, I hope, at least, I don't even know how, but something that needs to be, I think, developed and looked at down the road. Because I don't see a lot of mentorship happening. And I don't know if it's just, you know, in the spaces that I'm in that I'm not seeing it, or if it really is something that doesn't happen anymore.
It just doesn't happen anymore, in my opinion. It's very, very rare that it's genuine.
Yeah, yes. The people that I see doing it are doing it for financial gain.
Yes.
I would just love, I mean, like, one of my pipe dreams is to have a nonprofit that's a mentorship for kink. I mean, all of the red tape involved in that and the liabilities would be insane. But I feel like it's a real need in our community, and I really think it's really needed, and I just wish there was. So, you know, if you have a couple million dollars and you're listening to this,
We don't even need that much. We can work on a budget. We're fine.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you'd like to know more about kink and BDSM, or if you have your own adventure to share, please visit kink101.com. That's kynk101.com. Because we put the Y in kink.